This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. The minimum wage right now, $7.25 an hour. But most fast food workers get paid a little bit more than that, but still they make so little at the end of their work week that they qualify for public assistance. There is a growing support for an increase to the federal minimum wage of $10 an hour. In Washington, D.C., the Fair Minimum Wage Act is being proposed, also called the Harkin-Miller Bill. It would raise the minimum wage in three steps over 2 years to $10.10 and then index it to inflation. So we're talking about the minimum wage this half hour. We want to hear from you, especially from business owners and minimum wage workers. Tell us what you think, what you want to see happen. The number is 210-614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. And joining us to talk about minimum wage, Silvia Agreto. She is an economist for research on labor and employment at the University of California, Berkeley. Welcome to The Source, Dr. Agreto.
Hi, David. It's good to be here.
Hey, so the minimum wage, now $7.25 an hour. So what's it like to try and work for, you know, minimum wage? How does that impact the worker?
Well, of course, that's a very low minimum wage. I would like to point out that the minimum wage today at the federal level is lower today than it was even 50 years ago during Martin Luther King's March on Washington, when they were asking for a higher minimum wage at the time. So we have a declining trend, a long-term declining trend in the minimum wage. It's low enough that it's making it very difficult for families and for workers and their families to make ends meet. I just put out a paper a couple of weeks ago looking at fast food workers. These are the core line, you know, frontline fast food workers, the folks that you interact with when you enter one of the fast food establishments, and found that these workers and their families, over half of them, are on public assistance. And that's compared to about 25% of the overall workforce. So industries that are heavy users of low-wage workers are making it very difficult to get by, not just for workers, but for taxpayers.
So when you say that during Martin Luther King's march, that was for economic justice march, 1968, that and it mm-hmm. was higher back then, we're talking about it being indexed for inflation.
If it were indexed for inflation.
Right. So it was $1.60 then.
Right. So in, if you look at it, if you take into account inflation and price changes, it's actually lower today. That's correct. So it's one of these things that's really important right now, because this is not just something that is that has to do with today. We have to look at a much larger, longer term trend of wages in the U.S. And if you look at wages in the U.S. and not just low wage workers, but even the median, the middle wage worker, the average, the typical worker, their wages have been stagnant for about 30 or 40 years now, at best. And for the lower wage workers, they're actually declining. So one problem we have now is a lack of demand. It's one reason why the economy can't get going, and another reason for that is high unemployment, and the folks that are making wages just aren't making any more than they were, you know, 5 or 6 years ago before the Great Recession started. Many are making less. And so one of the things that I think we need to do is increase the minimum wage. I think the Harkin-Miller bill is a good place to start.
Yeah, some people say this would cause great economic stimulus, because you will be putting more money in the hands of the people who would spend it. Then they would be able to buy more consumer goods, qualify to buy big ticket items even, and you would see a great that money would soon flow through the economy.
Well, certainly, you know, there probably is a small economic stimulus, because they, most workers are making above the minimum wage, which is a good thing. Although we have, you know, millions of workers that aren't, so it's very important for those workers to gain some traction with their wages. I don't think the stimulus argument is the best one to make. Whether it's there or whether it's small, it's the fact that these workers are falling further and further and further behind. Sure, it is at a time when we need massive economic stimulus, but the fact is we need stimulus much greater than what would be provided from a minimum wage increase. Again, that doesn't mean we should do it. We should absolutely do it. But what's disheartening is that next month marks the sixth year since the Great Recession started in December of 2007. We've yet to regain the jobs that we lost over that period of time. And we have 6 years of folks entering or should have been entering the labor force. So we're about 8 million jobs short of where we should be. Now, there's two really important parts about this. One is that, you know, workers aren't getting the jobs that they need. And the second is there's so much slack in the labor market that workers have no bargaining power. Again, both of these affect worker wages and the ability to get higher wages. So, you know, we absolutely need to increase the minimum wage. And by the way, a really good aspect of the Harkin-Miller bill is the sub-minimum wage received by tip workers. That is $2.13 an hour. That's the wage that your waiter is getting at the federal level and in your state in Texas, because they're adopting the federal policies. It's $2.13 an hour and has been so since 1991. That's not economic policy. That's the restaurant lobby that gave you that. And when you talk about, you know, what's going to happen if you raise wages, again, there's all kinds of screaming from the restaurant industry. But I don't think anybody would think. I mean, it's just common sense that clearly we can go far, far behind the $2.13 an hour wage of mostly women workers. 70% are women. A high share of them are working poverty. You know, they're families that are in poverty. And so both of those wages need to be increased at a time when corporate profits are the largest share on record as a share of national income. Wages are at a 55-year low and falling quickly. And everybody knows that one of our biggest problems we have, not just today, but that we've had over the last several decades, is growing inequality that has gotten so much worse on this side of the Great Recession. The most recent research has shown that 95% of the economic gains since 2009, when the recovery, albeit very weak, took hold, 96% of those gains went to the top 1%. So anything that we can do to make the vast majority of workers in the middle, and certainly those at the bottom, to do better, we need to implement those policies.
Sure. I want to mention something about the tip workers, and you said they're making $2.13 an hour.
That's right.
And also, they are being taxed upon what they sell. So they're able to look at the receipts of how much that waiter or waitress sells during that time. The government assumes they're making a certain level in tips, and then they tax them based on that. So when they don't receive an adequate tip, they actually lose money on that particular table.
Well, and also, you know, they have to tip out. They have to tip out bartenders and busers.
Sure. Right.
So, you know, you have to ask, and they don't have any benefits, right?
Right. So we're going to continue talking about the minimum wage and what it means. We're going to hear from, we got callers lined up. We're going to take our calls. If you want to join the conversation, 614-8980, 614-8980. We're going to get into this a little bit more. Don't go away. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about a proposal in Washington, D.C. to raise the minimum wage. We want to get a reality check how the current minimum wage of $7.25 is impacting workers here in San Antonio and across the nation. We're talking with Silvia Allegretto. She is an economist for research on labor and employment at the University of California, Berkeley. We're going to get to our phone calls. The number is 614-8980. And let's get Kat on the line. Kat, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hey there.
Well, I have a lot to say, but I was told that I need to keep it short and concise.
Well, that's short and concise is good.
Okay, I have a very small farm-to-table restaurant in San Antonio. I have about 6 employees. And I myself, I don't really start people out at minimum wage. I think it's to tell someone that you're worth the absolute minimum that I can pay you by law, I think it's insulting to an employee. However, if you guys were speaking about a majority of these minimum wage earners are working at fast food restaurants. Well, I mean, you have basically a very minimal skill set to work in a fast food restaurant. It's an entry-level job, and you're basically performing assembly line tasks. So, but I just don't see, if you want to stay in that type of position and make a career of a minimum wage job, then, I mean, I don't feel like it's fair to, you know, collect public assistance and stay working at an entry-level job. It just, to me, it doesn't make sense. It's a little backwards. You want to move up. You don't want to stay.
Sure. Okay, Kat, I got your point. So we're going to let our expert, Sylvia Allegretto, address that. Professor or Dr. Allegretto?
Well, I think she should have stuck with her first inclination, and that it's insulting because she went downhill from there. I mean, first of all, how does she know it's an entry-level job? I mean, we look at this in our paper and show that, matter of fact, most of these workers are not, for instance, teenagers. The majority of these workers are adults and adults with children. These are the jobs that are out there. These are the jobs that are growing. Limited service restaurants have just boomed, as have full service restaurants. For instance, since 1990, while private sector employment growth is up about 22%, restaurant industry growth is up over 70%. These happen to be the jobs that are out there, and sometimes you have to take them whether you want to or not. So it doesn't matter to me if it's an entry-level job or not. We should make them a good job. We should make them a good quality job. And I think that if an employer can't get $7.25 of productivity worth from a worker, they probably aren't a very good manager. The point is that unemployment is too high. These corporations, like McDonald's, for instance, make billions of dollars in profits. I mean, she should be bothered that they're making billions of dollars in profits while a majority of their workers are on public assistance that you and I pay for. They need to actually pay more and a wage so these workers can get by on their own. I don't think the average worker wants to be on public assistance and food stamps, for instance. They want to make it on their own. But you can't when you have a system where you have a lot of low-wage jobs and you keep the minimum wage so low. You can't have it both ways.
So it seems like the federal government, or we are as taxpayers, are actually subsidizing companies, corporations that are making huge profits by paying minimum wage. And we're seeing corporations advising their low-wage workers to apply for food stamps and for other federal government subsidies in order to make their paycheck stretch. But, they are making handsome profits.
Absolutely. I mean, look at Walmart. It just came out yesterday. Walmart has bins in their stores asking for Walmart workers to give so they can give to other low-wage Walmart workers during the holidays.
It's a food drive for Walmart workers.
Yeah. It's for Walmart workers to give to other Walmart workers.
Right.
Provided by Walmart, that is starting this drive in their stores. I mean, this is just kind of absurd. For instance, the six Waltons on the Forbes 400 list are worth $145 billion. I don't think there's anyone in their right mind, when you live in the richest country in the world, the United States of America, why we can't do better. One of the biggest problems is inequality. I think everybody agrees we would just share the wages, share the wealth a little bit, everybody would be better off. Workers don't want a handout, but they need a fair shake. And
okay.
They don't want to be up on public assistance. But when we have this system that's working against workers now for decades, this is what we end up with: corporate profits that are through the roof, a Dow at 16,000 that doesn't really matter to most workers, and wages that are falling.
Okay, let's get more callers on the air. Gabe, welcome to The Source. You're on the air, Gabe.
Hey, this is Gabe. How are y'all doing?
Doing good, buddy. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm just letting you all know that, like, I'm a chef right now, and I've been in the industry for about 12 years now. I have my education and everything, and I do work for a multimillion-dollar corporation, but yeah, they're not paying me anything, basically. You know, I have a family, and then I have I'm working two jobs. Like, as you all know, we do work, like, chefs work a lot, and it's just not fair. You know, what I'm getting paid, and plus, you know, it's just, it's not right. You know what I mean? It's degrading and everything. You know, San Antonio's wages are, like, way too low for food service workers, you know? And that's all I'm going to say.
Okay, Gabe, thanks for those comments. Appreciate that. So Dr. Allegretto, Gabe, saying he's working hard, working a couple of jobs, having a tough time making it work.
He worked there 12 years. He said he worked there 12 years. I mean, he should not be a low-wage worker. Clearly, he has skills if he's a chef. But again, we have a system where workers have absolutely no bargaining power. Unemployment rates are way too high. We need full employment so workers can get a foot into their, you know, they can get in and see their bosses and ask for raises and more benefits instead of wages declining and less benefits. You know, and that brings me to the idea of these fast food workers who were walking out earlier this summer. You know, they want the right to unionize. And a lot of people in the U.S. do want to unionize, and they find it impossible to do so. And that's one of the things that we should do, you know, have some policy steps toward reestablishing broad-based wage growth, which includes restructuring and reconstituting, you know, the labor standards that boost bargaining power for low and middle-wage workers. We have to have this hand-in-hand with higher minimum wages. And, of course, an overhaul of the tax policy so we stop redistributing money from the working class to the corporate class. You should know all about that in Texas, given what is going on with the oil industry. A lot of these industries don't pay any taxes. They're making billions of dollars, and they're actually getting subsidies.
So the people, there are critics of the minimum wage policy who say that it is actually hurts employment, that you don't hire as many workers because you have to pay them more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I've actually done academic research that is published in top-tier peer-reviewed journals that looked at the minimum wage changes in the U.S. over the last several decades, and I've shown that actually that never transpires. I mean, it doesn't mean it never transpires, like on an individual basis, but when you look at it statistically, if you increase the minimum wage, you don't see massive job losses or statistically significant job losses. It's just clear that the minimum wages have been kept so low that we are not at a competitive market. And so there's room to move to increase the wages without destroying the labor market. And matter of fact, research has shown that there's a lot of positives that come out of the minimum wage. I mean, we always have this cost analysis, and we don't have the other half, which is the benefit analysis when we're speaking of minimum wages. And we've shown, for instance, empirically that turnover at restaurants, at fast food restaurants, heavy users of minimum wage industries, actually falls when the minimum wage is increased. So it's not that employment levels drop, it's that churning actually falls. And this is cost saving for the firms.
Okay, I want to get another
restaurant industry. Got it. That, you know, you have high turnovers.
Okay, I'm going to get another caller on the air. Albert is on the line. Albert, welcome to The Source.
Hello?
Albert, you there? Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, I'm here.
All right, Albert, you're on the air, Albert.
Oh, yes. Hi, it's nice to meet you. Yes, I used to work for Walmart just a couple of years ago, and I only worked there for a couple of months because the wages they were paying were just pitiful. I mean, gladly, I made a little bit more than other people did, but living off $9 an hour with the family, I was just there for 5 months, and it was just ridiculous how much money they were making in profits and what they were paying their workers.
Okay, so you think that the minimum wage should be raised?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, all right, Albert, thanks for your phone call. Appreciate that. Let's get Andrew on the line. Andrew, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, Andrew. You're on the air.
Hi, yeah. So I work as an automotive service technician, and the trend I've been noticing in our industry is that we're starting to go on a decline towards minimum wage. And these very precise and very honed skill sets that people have worked years to acquire are starting to sort of depreciate in the face of people wanting to make more profit and not really acknowledging that fact that, you know, somebody can do it for less, But, you know, the things we do are safety related and sometimes keep the economy going. Small businesses, local businesses mostly come in and get service to keep their delivery vehicles on the road. And, you know, she was talking about high turnover. We have guys high turnover with hundreds of hours of certification under their belts that just are forced to go elsewhere to make a living because everybody's trying to hit that minimum wage mark.
Okay, Andrew, thanks for that call. So, you know, that turning over, that's a lot of cost for employers, retraining of folks. We're hearing, I mean, our phone lines have lit up. I can see from the comments that I've got from Paul that a lot of these people are calling up saying they're just not making it, that the minimum wage is just not there. And even at $9 an hour, it's still not enough.
Yeah, I think what your last caller was describing is this race to the bottom. We in the U.S. now think that, you know, to pay workers the least amount that you can is the way to go. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, businesses aren't in the business of hiring workers to hire workers. And businesses are not doing anything wrong when they want to pay the lowest amount possible, and they will do that. As he was talking about, even ones who weren't doing it before are trying to do it now, actually, you know, make the wages lower for their workers. And so what we need is good policy. This is the reason we need good policies. Because we don't have good labor unions, so these workers can walk in and demand to bargain a better wage and better benefit packages for themselves and their coworkers, with good faith from their employers and what they can actually afford. They can't do that. So we need good policies like minimum wages, and we need the ability for these workers to unionize if they decide to do so.
All right. We've been talking about the minimum wage. The conversation will continue online on our website, tpr.org. You can go to the comments section there and weigh in. Tell us about your story, what you think. This is something that's still going to be debated in Washington, D.C. There is some talk that we may get a vote before the end of the year. We will see. And how it does in Congress is another issue. We've had Sylvia Allegretto on the air. She is an expert and from the University of California at Berkeley. Thanks for joining us.
And, You're welcome, David.
When we come back, we're going to talk about a plastic bag ban in San Antonio. Stay with us. This is The Source.